Welcome to This Justin, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Justin. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Justin studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. Before we begin our special show today, I'm very excited to announce that we're broadcasting the This Justin radio show again live from the HIMSS annual conference show floor on Tuesday, March 10th, from 1 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. This would be our sixth year broadcasting live from the conference, and I could not be more excited. And many thanks to my radio show supporters, HIMSS, Lenovo Health, Intel, Business Radio X, and certainly Healthcare Now Radio. If you're planning on attending HIMSS, we'll be broadcasting from booth number 2521, very centrally located near the main hall entrance. So stop by if you're in Orlando and see the show. If you're not able to make the conference this year, you'll be able to stream us live again at thisjustinradio.com between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern. Last year, we had over 30,000 listeners. And it was a ton of fun and learning. We'll have another great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policymakers joining the show. Here are just a few of our confirmed guests. Dr. John Halamka from Mayo and his co-author of his next book, a new book, Paul Serrato. Dr. Rasu Shresha from Atrium. Neil Gomes from Thomas Jefferson University and Penn Health. Anish Chopra from Care Journey. Dr. Karen DeSalvo, Google. Dr. Don Rucker, ONC National Coordinator, Steve Posnack, Deputy National Coordinator, Beth Myers, Catherine Marchesini, and the entire ONC policy team, and many, many new thought leaders. And certainly my next guest will also be in my run of show, and I'll talk about that here in a moment, but hopefully you're able to join us in some capacity. But without further ado, for this episode, my 195th episode, we're very fortunate to have back a great friend of the show, Dr. Jamie Skipper from Elevation Health. Jamie is a great industry leader, industry and public policy strategist, and just so welcome back to the show, Jamie.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for having me. It's always fun to be on your show.
You got it. You've been so great to us through the years. You and I first met on Capitol Hill. I mean, now it's got to be about, was it 12, 13, 15 years ago? How long ago was that?
Yeah, definitely over a decade, a fun decade, crazy, eventful decade, hasn't it?
Very, very true. Yes, you are always a great supporter of health IT. And I think that's one of the biggest things that obviously I respect of you now is your passion for health IT, what health IT can enable us to do in our nation's healthcare, but also you have a global approach to a lot of what you've done and your great, your background. You worked for, was it NIH? Is that correct?
Yeah. I my undergrad is nursing, so, and I'm proud to be a nurse. So I worked as a nurse across the Washington, D.C. area for a number of years, working on the pre-EHRs of our time, way before high tech came on board. So it's exciting to now be working on the policy and improving how we use the data from EHRs.
Yep. And what's really near and dear to your heart now, and you and I have talked about this even, you know, over the past decade, but you're hyper-focused on it, is navigating kind of the intersection of corporate strategy and public policy. I mean, I'm really simplifying it down, but, you know, you have such a great beat on where policy is going, and we're going to talk about that today, you know, remote patient monitoring and telehealth and virtual care in general, but you have a great insight on why companies should be paying attention to public policy, how it affects their corporate strategy. And I speak from this from a really passionate perspective, because that's how I, you know, navigated one of my previous companies successfully through all of that, just because legislation and obviously eventual regulation significantly affects your corporate strategy. And knowing those intersections, when, where, how, why, is, you know, that could be a billion-dollar difference in your bottom line, or a $500 billion difference in your bottom line, depending upon how large of a company you are. So I know that you work a lot on that today, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say if I have a plug to put in early,
yes,
it's when when we are really looking at regulation and legislation, and bringing that piece into your corporate strategy, I just implore the audience to know that this is not something that you do as a reaction.
Yes.
You know, you, Justin, you know firsthand that it's what's really important is to be thinking about these concepts as you're building your business strategy, because it is too hard, too expensive. You lose too many opportunities if you're just reacting. And that is where I really love to play, where I really love to work with folks to get them involved early in the game, and to work with them when they're just building their, whether they're an established company and they're trying to figure out their new business strategies, whether they're pivoting or they've got a new product that they're looking at, or if it's a new startup, a new company that's got a really great idea, to try to weave in, understand, and build towards the regulatory landscape that's both current and emerging, and make that into the, you know, DNA of what they're building. That's just so, so important for success.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You and I are completely aligned like that. And just to break it down for my listeners, you know, that was a $350 million difference in my company. I mean, by aligning, you know, navigating public policy, knowing how public policy affected our business, how we could use public policy to enable our business at another level. And that's what we implemented. And again, that was the difference between a $300 million company and a $650 million company is navigating that. And so, you know, I can't implore the importance enough to my listeners and to the industry. And I speak on it. I don't do it quite as much today. I still, obviously, that's why you and I are such close friends. I still pay close attention to it. And you're also, I want to say thank you to you, because you're an active participant in every one of my think tanks. I'm pretty sure you've been there since day one, right, for my think tanks?
I have been, it's been an honor to be with you from the very beginning. It's been exciting to be part of your think tank.
Yeah, you always bring a great insight. And again, I mean, we'll talk about remote patient monitoring and telehealth, because that's the future of healthcare and virtual care in general. But you always break it down. You give us great 15-minute snippets. You don't overcomplicate it. And you're you know, I call it high impact education. But you get out there and you jump up, because obviously we're always going through a lot of different topics. But you're consistent, professional, and just the way you concisely share your ideas and collaborate with the think tank, you know, I find it a blessing. And I'm just so grateful for your constant participation. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, it's been an honor. Really, it has been. And the people that you've had at the think tank, Justin, I mean, these are leaders, game changers. I'm just really honored to have been in the room with them, talking about ideas about what the future of our nation's healthcare should look like, will look like, and what people can do to move the needle forward.
Awesome. Yeah. And just to that end, we're going to have, you know, you'll be attending HIMSS 20 coming up here very soon. Many of the things that we'll talk about will be on the radio show as well. But also, I've pulled the entire guest list from the radio show this year, the HIMSS 20 radio show that will broadcast on Tuesday, March 10th from 1 to 5. Every one of those guests come from the think tank as well. So I'm really having, because just that, like you said, these are national, these are global leaders. And I'm just like, you know what, let's focus this entire radio show, the 4 hours, just on high impact best practices and strategies to successfully navigate the future of healthcare. And obviously you're on it. You're appearing 4:40, to give you a plug, 4:40 PM. You'll be at booth 2521, or anyone can stream live at thisjustinradio.com. But Jamie Skipper will be on at 4:40. So if you missed any of this show and don't catch the podcast, that'll be rebroadcast in coming weeks and years. You can also find her live on the radio show at 4:40 on March 10th. So, but let's dive right in, because obviously this topic, I kind of pleaded with you and begged you to come on before HIMSS, because this topic is just so timely. I live and breathe telehealth every day. I live and breathe remote patient monitoring, virtual care. But let's start off with a quick breakdown. What is telehealth versus remote patient monitoring for my audience?
Yeah, so let's talk about telehealth in general for a second before we get into remote patient monitoring, right? And I want to kind of theme out our conversation with with just a high level, as you said, I think globally, you know, where are we going as a whole as we talk about telehealth? Because really my audience has been the folks that are really creating some of those next generation applications in health IT, and in this instance, telehealth and remote patient monitoring devices or applications. And the bottom line question is, where are we going in terms of virtual care, right? And a lot of folks think of telehealth sometimes as kind of a slice of the pie. But if you talk to patients at large, often, whether they're rural folks, whether they're urban folks, whether they're folks that are going through chronic conditions or caregivers, folks in all instances are thinking about how can I make healthcare be more integrated into my everyday life. And so the idea of virtual care is something that we want at large for our future, not as an option,
right,
but as the way we really go forward and function, right? And that really lays a floor in terms of how we think about telehealth, telemedicine, and remote patient monitoring, because all of those are modalities for us to be able to make healthcare and being well and more healthy as a more convenient and normal part of our lives. And so when we think about it that way, we're not focused on what specific codes are working this year, but really leading to the idea of how do we lay a floor, a pathway towards where we want to go, and what can we do now, and what do we hope to do in the future. So that said, when we think about telehealth at the moment is really about how patients and doctors and folks in the healthcare field talk to each other when they're not face to face, right?
Yep.
And a remote patient monitoring in specifically is when you're talking about exchanging information between whether it's doctor to doctor or patient to doctor without that face to face there. And so face to face is really kind of that defining piece for telehealth.
Yeah, and it's a great point because you're bringing up different also functionalities and care strategies. And I think from my perspective, I completely agree. But then also, I'm now doing my kind of my speaking platform for the next probably 12 to 18 months. And one of them is around how you've really got to look at virtual care as your extension of your care strategy. And to what you and I already know, you need to do this sooner rather than later, because this is the future of healthcare. I can even see a tipping point where in the next 5 years, there'll be more care provided and the virtual care side than the inpatient side or traditional walled care that we see today. That's a speculation, just because of the opportunity and the value how much care that we actually are going to need in 5 to 7 years from now in that type of arena, just because of how our population, our aging population, and where care needs to be administered to be able to afford it. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when you're thinking about health outcomes, which is what I did at ONC before leaving ONC, right, is how can we take health data to improve health outcomes? Telemedicine telehealth in general is so key to that.
Yes.
Because it's not about I can only give care in this way or that way. It's taking a step back and say, what kind of care,
yes,
is required to make sure that this person has the best outcomes possible? And then backtracking from that and understanding, how do we create a pathway to to create a healthcare system that can support that. And that's where you get into what codes are reimbursed right now, where are we going, how do we create new codes, what are the reimbursable, you know, landscapes right now. That comes after understanding what our North Star is.
Yeah, and so you bring up a great point. So real quickly, how are they reimbursed differently? I think that's just for my audience. I think it's important to put out there.
Yeah, so there are a couple of things to really understand around telehealth, right? So, and I'll talk about a couple of things. One is, you know, and there's another telehealth. Looking at the how to get reimbursed for telehealth isn't something that we're going to cover in 10 minutes, right? There is so many different facets to it. So what I'd love to do in this conversation is kind of throw out some big buckets that people have to really kind of get their head around. So when you're thinking about being reimbursed for telehealth, one of the number one things that you need to ask is the patient a Medicare patient? Are they a Medicaid patient? Are they a private payer patient? Where are they? What does their insurance look like? And that's going to determine a number of things, right? When you're thinking about CMS and Medicare, Medicaid, specifically Medicare, it requires for the telehealth device to have two-way communication. That's a really important kind of buzzword to take away. It has to be two-way. When you're thinking about maybe sending a file or a video for a patient to look at later, where you're recording and how there it's talked about in policy is called store and forward. So you have something stored in your system that you want to forward to somebody. That is not a two-way communication. And that is reimbursed differently from any kind of a telehealth device that allows you to talk live in two ways. So kind of virtually face to face is what's defined as very straightforward as telehealth, right? When you're talking about being reimbursed for remote patient monitoring, those are the coveted codes that folks are really trying to understand right now. There's some codes around some specific disease entities like behavioral health, opioid use that's been released recently. There's also some new RPM codes around Medicare Advantage that have been released. And there's some specific codes, but what really matters is you can't just grab a code and just run with it because it's a multifaceted kind of equation where you have to look at another concept that I want to throw out, which is your originating site. Is the person the concept of originating site, right, is the idea of where the patient or the individual is at the moment that they're getting the care. Are they in their home or are they in another doctor's office? So say you're in Montana and the surgeon is 200 miles from you. So you go to the nearest clinic and that is deemed as an appropriate originating site. Then you can't, that conversation between the surgeon that's 200 miles away and the physician and the patient at that local clinic may, you know, qualify because that is an appropriate originating site. Mm-hmm. But if that patient was talking to the same surgeon from their home, it might not be covered because it's not in a in an approved originating site. And those kind of issues change and they're different from state to state because different states allow different definitions for originating sites. So there are the codes that you can use for federally defined telehealth services. Then you have your state-based definitions for telehealth. RPM that also apply.
Yeah, and I think this is important because obviously I know personally it's important because it's how, you know, I sit on boards of companies. I help them navigate these regulations and optimize them. And so their pay. So, you know, this is very important to understand because you can enable your care providers, your care strategies to embrace this. And again, you're embracing today, and but you're also embracing where the future of healthcare is going. So it's, you know, tremendously important. And just for those joining a little late today, my guest is public policy expert and great friend of the show, Dr. Jamie Skipper from Elevation Health. So Jamie, and we have about 6 minutes left, or about 5 minutes left or so. But and obviously, you probably have to have you back because this is a great topic and extremely timely, but only every day it gets more timely. But what trends do you see that signal the future around telehealth and remote patient monitoring?
Well, it's been really interesting to see just in the last couple of years how many more telehealth codes are coming out. At the same time, there wasn't really that much of an addition of telehealth codes as we would have liked in the last iteration of the physician fee schedule. And so there's this kind of give and take here. And this is where I go back to keeping your eye on the North Star, right? Especially as a business trying to come into this field, you can be too late and too early. And so navigating where the reimbursement landscape is really important to know where and when to enter the market. What I'm really encouraged to see is a number of both national and state pieces of legislation that's been introduced around telehealth to try to really improve the definitions around things like I said, around originating sites. There's another concept called parity law, parity laws that are very important. That means that, you know, how is telehealth consultation or a visit, how is that going to be paid in comparison to a face-to-face visit? If you're getting the same care, it should be paid the same because you're, as from the physician point of view, sure, you're doing the same work. And so, you know, you're seeing a lot more states working towards having good parity laws. That's really cool. And you cannot ignore the industry that's just bursting at its seams. If you were, for example, at CES earlier this year, seeing just a tremendous amount of new types of remote patient monitoring applications and devices. Yeah. It's just really hard to ignore. Now, going back to the idea of how do we do this? How do we lay this foundation so that healthcare can really grow into this new world of virtual care and more convenient care and more improved health outcomes that are easier to reach? Is a two-way street between the industry, the providers, the tech developers, and the government to try to figure out what's working and what's not. And that's where the marriage between coding and revenue cycle management, which is the kind of art of medical billing, come in to understand what is working with telehealth and what isn't. Because entities like CMS are constantly looking at the telehealth codes that are entered and comparing that to outcomes and seeing what they really want to reimburse in the future. And so that is someplace also where I really implore the industry to get involved. Don't just look at what codes are current right now, but really get into the game in terms of what codes do you want to see reimbursed and how do you make that case to the folks that are making those decisions and how can we have that bi-directional education, which is so, so important.
I completely agree and I love it. I appreciate the wisdom. I've got to come close to closing the show. But I mean, what would be a 30 seconds before I got to close it up here, but what would you share just on next steps for people that are in this business or thinking about getting in this business? You know, what wisdom do you have?
Yeah, I would probably reiterate two things. One is telehealth is coming. Remote patient monitoring is a subset of telehealth. It is coming because patients want it. And physicians, thinking about physician burnout, they want it. The question is the how. And if we can all work together to figure out that how, then we're looking at a rosier future.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the how is start now. That's what the think tank is. And that's what we take. Hey, begin, even if it's a small subset, just a one group of chronic condition patients or a subset of patients, whatever it is, begin this journey now. Start small. And then take a next step, have success, build another layer. But this is happening. This is the future of healthcare. And the more you delay, the farther you put yourself behind. And so I think that's what we're all, you know, really spending our time investing here in this. But Dr. Skipper, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you on air again. And I'll see you soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jamie. And thank you to everyone. Please, we briefly mentioned the Health Innovation Think Tank. So take a moment to check that out and research that website at healthinnovationthinktank.com. If you have any best practices that you think we should share or know about, send them to me. My contact information is on there, but Justin at justinbarnes.com. But we wanted to learn. We want to know what you think, what case studies that you have, what best practices that you think you have, and we want to review. And appreciate everybody joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. To listen to our show, and you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so we can respond to your comments from the show. If you miss any of this and want to hear more, all my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. And you check out the new website that we launched at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week and hope to see you at the HIMSS conference.